For a second response, Patrick Mulvaney, who is the senior policy advisor for Practical Action, and as I think you know, is chair of the UK Food Group, will add his own second response before we go into a period of questions and discussion in a moment. I'm sorry that a lot of the wording may not be seen at the back, and copies of your slides available to people.
Yeah, anyone can have these.
Okay,
that's fine. We'll come on this at the end, but we can definitely put it on the website excellent. Thank you very much indeed, Andrew, and also to Janet, with whom we agree, and Bob's amazing presentation of the complexity of the issues we're dealing with. The reason I'm here is not because I'm chair of the UK Food Group, but because Practical Action was one of the development organisations involved in the process of the ICEDAD, way back from 2002. And it's been a fascinating process. My colleague Daniel Rodriguez from Peru attended through the Latin America group, but then into the Global Bureau meetings, that's the governing body of ICEDAD, and I joined him from time to time. I was in the final plenary in Johannesburg with Janet and Bob, and it was a very interesting dynamic in which you had civil society, you had government, you had authors who came from every type of academic discipline, debating these issues. And I think what's come out in this report is it's a landmark assessment, and I would encourage you to read it. I think the book will be published at the end of the year,
December,
at least in English, and other languages follow. But I just want to make three, four brief points. Firstly, what's come out in the findings of ICEDAD has, in a sense, it's not new to many of us. It's certainly not new to many of the farmers' organisations and farmers' networks with whom we work. They're things that people have been saying for a long time. Indeed, your own experience your father's farm, and it would tell you that there's a lot of sensible local knowledge which is being used, and if it were protected and supported, could be used more to achieve the end that this assessment is talking about. There are 22 findings. You may have seen the briefings, if not, have a look at them afterwards, covering every aspect of what Bob was talking about. And I bring your attention particularly to number 6, which is to do with multifunctionality, Bob mentioned. Number 7, to do with agroecology. We need to move more towards agroecological sciences in order to sustain the environment and increase production. And number 22, which is the need to involve multiple disciplines, diverse voices in the debate on agriculture, science and technology. The importance of local knowledge, building upon that local knowledge, the importance of women's knowledge, particularly, and how that could be included, is very much in the document and in the findings. And the importance of local innovation. Sometimes we get caught up in the idea that innovation is only the stuff of modern science and stuff that can be protected by intellectual property. No, innovation can be local, is local, does happen, and is what protects. So three more points, very briefly. I think this graph represents the challenge of ICEDAD. Terribly simplistic. Bear with me. If we are at some level of production here and there's a need to increase, there is a political choice. And the political choice, either you simplify, reduce diversity, increase carbon input, go down the industrial production model line, and indeed, yields will be increased, but as has been shown and demonstrated well in this assessment, it cannot be sustained. alternative political choice is to move much more, as Janet was saying, on the agricultural direction, reducing carbon, increasing diversity, increasing yield, and at lower, at smaller scales, increasing the productivity per unit area higher than you can get with industrial agricultural systems. So a definite win. That is a political choice. There is a scientific challenge, which many of you here are very familiar with. How do you move from degraded, simplified, low diversity, high carbon systems to more diverse, low carbon systems without having a collapse in yield? And that's the big challenge. Secondly, I have to share this with you because it was presented in the Johannesburg meeting on the issue of trade. And as it found that the negative impact of international trade, opening national agricultural markets to international competition can lead to long-term negative effects on poverty alleviation, food security and the environment. And to suggest that it's simply an issue of levelling the playing field without addressing the more political issues behind is indeed simplistic. Which brings me on to my final point. It recognises policy and institutional failure. It recognises that there's a need to be able to have a new type of governance that would enable the kinds of results that have been talked about in Iceland to be real. And this institutional failure has resulted in concentration of power. And among many comments that have been made on Iceland, I simply quote this one by Olivia de Schutte, who is the UN Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Food, who said, there is a risk that in a context dominated by the fear of food shortages, opportunities will be mistaken for solutions. And that, in the name of raising production, the need for both social and environmental sustainability of the solutions devised will be underestimated. Decode that from UN speak, but I think the message is very, very clear. He is also on record in saying the deafening silence of quoting the findings of Iceland in the multiple forums that have happened since the food crisis is remarkable and notable. So sir, I'd like to leave there with one final thought. Could it possibly be that the kinds of findings of this assessment are inconvenient? They're inconvenient because they don't prioritise proprietary technology. It's tending to put an emphasis, not exclusive, but put an emphasis on those technologies that are used by people, developed by people, that cannot be appropriated. And I leave you with that thought. Thank you very much.
Very much. Now I've been asked to just make a very few remarks, very brief indeed, which I promise won't involve any more reminiscences on my part. I mean, I started by saying that you'd be forgiven, given past history of the last 20 to 30 years, taking a very pessimistic outlook, and certainly the first part of your talk, I think we've made lots of extremely pessimistic about what was likely to happen. But of course, the recommendations from ICER, I think, do give us many reasons for optimism. I mean, the challenge is greater, as you said, and we've certainly got it wrong. I think the risk is generally in the wrong direction, and the collective commercial systems, as it were, international, are probably ranged against us in achieving what I said of having effect recommendation recommended. But to use one of Janet's expressions, the forces of good, I think are perhaps sort of gathering in the sense that the recommendations have given, I think, those who want to see a change in policy internationally and nationally if you like, a focus on which to base their future action. And I'm certainly encouraged by Bob Watson and his new position, I would say, in DEFRA, very, very central within the UK government, given the comments that he's made today and the comments he's made elsewhere, and the fact that international opinion is gathering around, is coalescing around the concerns which are the conclusions of Eidsted, and that I hope, I think we have to be hopeful, that that the international community will recognise that when you're in a hole, you must stop digging. however, at that point, trying to at least strike a note of optimism into the discussion which is about to happen, and once again apologising and saying I'm going to leave you with someone far better, Jeanette, who will be taking over as chair in my absence. So thank you all very much, and I look forward to the results of the discussion today, and thank you, Patrick, for organising the event. Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much indeed, Andrew. I'm going to point out today that absolutely fantastic presentations, I'm sure you all agree.